السلام على أشرف الخلق والمرسلين سيدنا محمد الصادق الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. Respected listener, not to the Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wa Jama'ah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In this special episode of the Hajj and Umrah special program with our Mufti Ustad Abdul Qadir Hussain, he is expecting your questions, inshallah, with regards to Hajj and Umrah. You know that, inshallah, we are preparing now for Hajj and Umrah, and we have many questions that I would like you to WhatsApp it to us on our number, that is 084-786-3132, and Mufti Sahab is waiting for your questions, and he's got answers for you, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. So don't hesitate to send us your WhatsApp message straight away on 084-786-3132. And we have, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahab.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, this is a special Q&A Hajj program, so anything to do with Hajj, Umrah, Ziyarat, Madinah, Munawwarah, hundreds of questions will go through the mind of people. And don't forget, inshallah, next week, Sunday, on the 8th of July, inshallah, in the Mayfair Jumnah Masjid, Hazrat Muhammad Shabir Sahib Saroji will be there, Imam Musa Akudi, Sheikh Zakariya, Muhammad Arafat, myself, and inshallah, there will be a wonderful seminar there from Zohar to Asr. Zohar Salah is called to 1, inshallah, Jamaat. And after that, 1 o'clock, 5:01, inshallah, we will start our program right up to Asr, inshallah, in the Mayfair Jumnah Masjid, inshallah.
Amen. We have already our first question, Mufti Sahab. The question says, when the season of Hajj starts, Mufti Sahab?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulih al-Kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. These blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah jalla wa ala informed us in the Noble Quran, Al-Hajj ashhurun ma'lumat, the months of Hajj are well known. What are indeed the months of Hajj? Min al-Eidin ila Eidin. From Eid al-Fitr, the first of Shawwal, to Eid al-Adha, the 10th of Zilhijjah, those are the months of Hajj. So you chose even today, if a person fasts in Haram for Hajj, for example, it makes intention of Ifrad Hajj, to perform Hajj only, so that is permissible. Or a person makes intention of Qiran Hajj, and that is the big Umrah and Hajj, but he stays in Haram all the time. So remember, that will be permissible. So therefore, the days of Hajj, that will be on the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. So therefore, we tell the esteemed listeners not to make intention of a 5-day Hajj, but a 6-day Hajj, inshallah. So we stay the extra day also in Mina, the 13th. But remember, the season of Hajj, the months of Hajj, all that is started already from the day of Eid, Eid will fit on first of Shawwal.
And the next question says, is there more types of Hajj than one Hajj? What are the different types of Hajj that we have, and what is the difference between them?
MashaAllah, there are three types of Hajj. One is the Mantu. And all of you who are going for the first time, remember you should read on the Hajj Kitab the notes regarding the Mantu Hajj. Don't read about Qiran and Ifrad, it will confuse you or blow your fuses, you'll get more confused. So read about the Mantu Hajj. So let's tell you what normally happens. Say from South Africa you are going, so you will get a direct flight straight to Madinah Munawwara, or you will go via Jeddah to Madinah Munawwara, via Dubai, via Cairo, Egypt, or via Istanbul, via Addis Ababa, so whatever else it might be, so in that way there that you come to Madinah Munawwara. Now from Madinah Munawwara, after your has not the need of any worldly mustahab and better desirable, but not compulsory. And remember, in the case of Bilal Hajj, the Mattu Hajj, to slaughter the animal is compulsory. So we must remember that that is the difference.
Which is better for me to go to first, Medina or Mecca?
Remember, for you, this will be to go to Medina Munawwara, because then you don't have to worry about the haram and all these type of issues and so forth. And then we would say that from Medina you pass in the haram and then you go with the bus and so forth. So normally we advise people that you go from South Africa or Africa, wherever you are, or America and so forth, that you go first to Medina Munawwara, come to Makkah, perform the Umrah, stay in Makkah, in Aziziyah, then pass in the haram for Hajj, and then when you leave from Jeddah. And if you want, I mean, for the past few years we are doing this with even after Hajj, because the flights are not immediately, we've got 3 days, 4 days, so we make a quick trip to Medina Munawwara. We leave in the morning, mashallah, before the holy day in Medina Munawwara, and we take a nice ghusl bath there. We go and read Salat and Salam to the Master and Salam, perform the whole Salat, go to Riyadhul Jannah, read Salat there, and then after we fast in the Haram, and then we come back to Makkah Mukarramah, perform another Umrah. So alhamdulillah, that also can be done. But remember, you need a part of Himmat and courage to do that.
The next question, Mr. Sam, says that my husband, from the day he was given the allowance to perform Hajj, and he is making tarbiyah, is that jais?
MashaAllah, he's preparing, he's making the big Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika lak labbaik. So if he is making it pakku, pakku means he must perfect it. So now he's learning it, so it's fine. But we must tell him that he doesn't consider it to be sunnah or anything. It's just a learning process and so forth. You know the one story I always tell the hadith, the one South African brother, he got lost, you know. So when he got lost, he went to the police. The police can't speak English and he can't speak Arabic. So he told the police, Arabic, Arabic, because he knew next to the Arabic is Abu Muhayyabad, our game of death. So he told the police, Arabic, Arabic. So the police told him, Arabic, Arabic. So anyway, you must remember, if you're learning it, show that you perfect it, it's fine.
The next question says, I understand that around the country the people are packed, and I'm a Shafi. What would happen to me if I touch a woman unintentionally while I'm tawaf?
Remember, my brother, that is why we say that ikhtilaf and differences of the fuqaha and the jurors and scholars is a rahmah. For you Shafi'is, when you touch a female skin to skin, then remember your wudu will break, or the female touches a male, and remember that her wudu breaks also. So in the case like that, you will then make the taqleed and you will follow the Hanafi school. So whenever you make wudu there in Makkah Mukarramah, just make intention you're following the Hanafi school, and even if somebody touches you inadvertently, unintentionally, your wudu will still be valid, because of the rule, the need and necessity. And therefore, let me discuss another important issue in Muslim as well. Remember, for the Shafi'is, Malikis, and Malikis, majority scholars, it's wajib compulsory that the ladies must wear socks and they must wear stockings and so forth when they emerge from their homes and hotels or their houses, even in South Africa or wherever they are. But remember, for Hanafi ladies, it is mustahab, better, desirable, not compulsory. But there we tell the Hanafi ladies, you must wear and should wear, because otherwise you will become
Says, when we are belting, we are using the stones to belt, what are we really belting them of the Sabbath?
Remember when the Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was going to take his son, so remember that in that case there the shaitan tried his waswasa, and remember that is when the Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam took the Ismail alayhi salam, and when he took his son, shaitan in these three places, he tried to bring about doubts, and he was putting on the shaitan. He was special face of the Lord. So when the Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam picked up the pebble or the dust that threw it in that direction, so we imitate and emulate the Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam when we are pelting the shayateen. It doesn't mean it is a shaitan, in reality, it is symbolically the shaitan. So that is the meaning.
Mufti Saab says, my husband previously made his Hajj, and now I want to perform my Hajj, and he is refusing to come out with me. What must I do?
The husband performed Hajj already, and now they want to go for Hajj.
Now she wants to go for Hajj, his wife wants to go for Hajj, and he is refusing. He says, no, I have already performed my Hajj.
So if your husband is refusing and Hajj is compulsory upon you, then you don't need and require his permission. And if your brother or your father or your son who is barely 15, 18 years old, they are available, then you go for Hajj with them, and even though your husband don't give you permission, remember to perform for Hajj, you don't require the permission of your husband, provided that you have a mahram, whether it is your father or whether it is your son or your brother and so forth. So that is the Hanafi and Hanbali school. The Shafi'is and Malikis will say, if it is a full Hajj, then you can go with a group of ladies also, and they are liable for a full Hajj.
This is a bit of a complicated question, Muftisa. It's a lady who says, I don't have money to go for Hajj. This is the inheritance that I have inherited from my husband. And in fact, my husband was not an honest man when he was doing his business. And the only money that I have is that money that he has left for me to buy me Hajj with that money.
Remember, sister, that when you inherited the money, and remember it was mixed up money, so in that case there, that it came to you as inheritance. So if majority of the money is haram, you go for Hajj, mashallah, and Allah Ta'ala will reward you. And what you are sure is haram money, like insurance money or interest and so forth, that you give to the poor and so forth, without the intention of reward. But remember that my advice to you, that just take it and you go, provided that you know that which one is halal and which one is haram, and you don't use the haram money but the halal money, but you must go inshallah for your Hajj, and I'm sure inshallah that your mahram is there, for example, your son or your father or your brother and so forth, you go with them inshallah.
The question says, is it necessary to have wudu when we are standing on Arafat?
Remember that to be in Arafat, very good question, that you don't have to be in wudu. Obviously, it's all asr salat to perform, that is what wudu, but afterwards, when making the dua, it's better to be in the state of wudu, but not compulsory. So if a person goes to break, you just continue with your ibadah, because remember that the queues are also very long. Sometimes it takes half an hour, 40 minutes. By the time you leave your tent, you go to the washroom, the bathrooms, and then you make wudu and come back. Easy half an hour will go away. So therefore, Islam says you don't require, it's not compulsory, but better and desirable.
A question that says, I am an amputee. I have a prosthesis. I cannot walk without that artificial leg. Although I have to put a socks prior to the leg going onto my part of the leg that is remaining. My Hajj will be accepted.
Yes, your Hajj will be accepted. However, that if it is a female, then there is no problem. You must remember that you just wear your stockings, you wear your socks, and then you put on your prosthesis and so forth, your artificial leg on and so forth, it's fine. But if it is a male, then remember in a case like that, because your ankle, your metatarsal, all that will be covered, so in a case like that, you should give one goat or one sheep as the dumb. And that will be the compensation, because for the man, we have to leave that the ankles must be open according to all the schools, Shafi's, Malikis, Hanafi's, somebody's. But Hanafi's say, with the ankles being exposed to the man, the metatarsal, the bone in the middle, that also must be exposed. So that's all we covered with the socks or whatever that person is wearing before he wears it out, put on the artificial leg. So therefore, in that case, he must go to one goat or one sheep there in Makkah Mukarrama or Mina, and that will suffice for him, but the Hajj is valid.
But he said again now that he doesn't have an ankle. He doesn't have a leg until the knee.
If he doesn't have, if he only has to the knee, and the remainder, remember, is artificial, then in that case, then it's fine, and it's permissible. Remember that there's no term and no penalty, no nothing. So remember, it is forgiven, and then he can use the sock and the artificial leg, it's fine.
Okay, the last question that we have here, of this up says, I did not have money to pay for the Hajj expenses. I borrowed the money.
money. Allah, I don't know whether it is a loan or whether it is zakat. Sometimes people might tell you that take this money, go for Hajj, and they give it to you as a loan. But when you want to pay back, they'll tell you it's all right, because they already made intention of zakat. So in a case like that, if you are really, really poor, you're a Muslim and really poor, and then you took that money, so it's fine if you perform Hajj with it, and you don't have to pay back that person anything because you made intention of zakat. But if it was a loan that the person gave you, then remember, your Hajj will be valid, but you have to repay that person, or if that person gave you a discount, or he forgave you, so that is a different issue. So that is what you must remember, very, very important.
We have another 2 minutes left, then, of this, would you like to add something to the people who are going to ask?
So, alhamdulillah, as I mentioned, that this week, Friday, inshallah, Brother Janet Khan, myself, will be in Heidelberg, inshallah, for Jumu'ah. So all of you, Heidelberg, Balfour, Niger, who want to join up with the coders and so forth, please come there to my nephew's place, Muhammad Hussein's place, inshallah. And there we will be there in the morning about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, inshallah, right up to about 2, 3 o'clock. And you can join up all the decoders there for free of charge. We don't charge anything. People from Niger, Balfour, whoever in your practice, Benoni, whoever. So we are Benoni, we are going to come there, inshallah. So in that way, there you can get it done. And remember that it is Friday. And then next week, Sunday, the 8th of July, inshallah, that in the Mayfair Masjid, Hanover Street, remember that there they will be the Hajj seminar. Brother Moshe Pilsap will be there, so Bishop Lisa, and the Shah Zakaria, Mona Arafat, Mona Musakuni, Mazam, and all of us will be there, inshallah, that it will be at the Mayfair Jummah Masjid, opposite the Hanover Bakery University, and in Johannesburg. And remember that between Zohar and Asr it will be. So our Salat on Sunday is called to one. So inshallah, from 1 o'clock onwards, the program will start, inshallah. It will be live on Markaz Sahaba online, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah Jama'ah. And inshallah, it will be live on Sirius FM as well from Springs. Barakallahu feek, Jazakallahu khair, Shaykh Al-Qadir. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our Mufti Saab Abdul Qadir Hussein, giving you all the satisfying answers for your questions with regards to Hajj and Umrah. We say Jazakumullah khairan. Tomorrow, inshallah, we have the same program, inshallah, between 2:30 and 2:30. So be prepared with your questions, inshallah.